This podcast is sponsored by valleygivesback.org. Don't get spooked by planned giving. Name a Valley nonprofit in your estate plan and create a legacy that tells future generations what matter to you. Making a gift that costs nothing during your lifetime is easy and revocable if things change. With a planned gift, you have the power to impact the Valley forever without affecting your current lifestyle. Your action will inspire others to make a difference in their own way. Remember the Valley. Ask your accountant, financial planner, or attorney about planned giving options. Plan now. Give later. Impact tomorrow. Learn more at valleygivesback.org.
For hundreds of years, we brought you the news. Printed the info, we gave you the clues. Owners' profits were always sky high. Changing market now threatens our lives. Post-literation, critical reading, dumbed down nation, signs of inbreeding. TV sucking ideas from our head. Public discourse just about dead. We'll ride the dinosaur. Yeah,
right. Hi, I'm Eugene Driscoll. Welcome to Naval Gazing, the Valley Indie Podcast. Today, my guest, two of them, Sal Coppola, Derby's finance director, and Carmen DeCenzo, the city's economic development liaison. They reached out to me last week after I published a podcast interview with Brian Coppola, who is the Democrat running for mayor. In that interview, Mr. Coppola, the candidate, raised some issues and some concerns he had with the city's efforts in terms of economic development, whether it made sense to have that position of economic development. That's my dog barking upstairs. I apologize. Whether it made sense to have the economic development position be part-time, whether that was in the city's best interest. And he raised concerns about the competency of finance director in the finance department in light of a budget mistake that started under the previous administration. And it was three budget cycles in total, the last one under the previous administration and two budget cycles under the current administration, where the city mistakenly and unknowingly double counted state grant money as revenue, creating a budget hole. So anyway, I went in and talked to Mr. Coppola and Mr. DeCenzo for 30 minutes, and what follows is that conversation. Please listen. I hope if you live in Derby, it's informative to you. Before I begin, I did reach out to Mr. Coppola for comment after I interviewed Sal and Carmen to give him a chance to respond, and he said, this is a quote from an email, "My campaign has been about setting Derby on the path toward revitalization. Two cornerstones of that plan deal with the financial mismanagement and lack of economic development. The finance director needs to be able to recognize multi-million dollar mistakes that jeopardize the financial health and well-being of our city and ensure they are not made. It's that simple. Mr. Coppola failed to do so. As a result, I would look to replace him with a finance director experienced in municipal finances. When it comes to economic development, I am not interested in nepotism or cronyism to put Derby on the path toward revitalization. I would be looking to bring in an experienced and proven economic development director who can not only deal with projects such as the south side of Main Street, but chart a path forward to create a vibrant, bustling downtown once again. I believe in Derby. I know we can do much better than we have." So that was Brian Coppola, the Democratic nominee for mayor in the city of Derby. And now my interview, recorded this morning in Derby City Hall, that's Monday, October 21st, with Derby Finance Director Sal Coppola and Derby Economic Development Liaison Carmen DeCenzo. All right, so you guys contacted me.
That's correct, yes.
To have the opportunity to respond to Brian Coppola, Democratic candidate for mayor. Comments about, I would assume, finance director, economic development liaison,
So let's just start there. I don't know who wanted to.
Administration in general.
Okay.
For me.
So who wants to start?
Yeah, you know, Brian said he mentioned that he wanted to bring in qualified people into the job requirements. And if you remember, we Anita brought in a qualified person into the economic development, which they paid her $61,000 for with no set hours while she was working part-time for another town. She did not sell one piece of our property that we owned. I myself now have been paid for a year $19,000, one-third of what she was making, and I have now sold close to $1 million worth of city-owned property.
Okay, and just to interrupt for a second, in the mayor's podcast, I did ask a question towards the end where I basically almost literally said, sing Carmen DeCenzo's praises, what has he accomplished? So the mayor did go on, so people want to go back and hear all the economic development accomplishments that's been done, I guess, for lack of a better word, under the mayor. They can do that.
Correct. Okay, that's fine.
So
that's
I mean, I'm just so people just.
I'm
so
just trying to give you an answer to, you know, what he says that we've done nothing economically for the city, which is false. You know, you're bringing in just from the sales close to $1 million in property sales, and putting those properties back on the tax rolls will be a big implication for us. Mm-hmm. And we also have the fuel cell coming on board next year, which is going to be $200,000 with city taxes.
And let me just ask, just to play devil's advocate here, in general in Derby, there's the part-time mayor, mm-hmm. Part-time economic development, mm-hmm. but it is a city with full-time issues facing it.
Correct.
And the mayor and I talked about this in his podcast, too, about charter revision to sort of, in some ways, I think one could argue that city government is a little old-fashioned in its composition by having these part-time positions and having the mayor being part-time. But I've only lived here for 15 years and covered the city for 10. As somebody who was born here and has been involved in city government, you're on the board of aldermen. Do you see any need to sort of, not professionalize, but to make the mayor part-time and to do a charter revision, to look at these things in general?
I do. I see that the mayor could be and should be full-time. I also see that a first-time mayor coming in, our charter should be changed, that he get 4 years, not mm-hmm. two. Because by the time you're up and running and you get your first year in just to learn everything, in 6 months, you're running a campaign to get reelected. Now, I know myself, before I got involved, way back when Dan Foley asked me to run as an alderman, and I know Mayor Zeke, when he was going to get involved, you know, you come and you attend meetings, so you know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't seen Mr. Coppola here for not one Board of Aldermen meeting, and not one tax board meeting.
Let me ask you, I don't mean to interrupt, but I just thought of another question. Let's say, Carmen, okay, you have done, I'm not literally advocating this because I'm neutral, but you've sold all these properties, the fuel cell is coming, there is life downtown with an application that was going to be presented,
yes.
It should be presented next month.
Yep.
But let's say 10 years from now, I'm assuming you're going to retire. What about in the sort of fundamental foundation here in Derby? Couldn't one make the argument that while a part-time development liaison may be a great thing right now, for the future generations, we want that position full-time? Because Carmen is not going to be in this position forever.
Correct.
And you might get, I'm part-time, then it's all going to fall to...
I may be out in 3 weeks.
well, that's the other possibility.
Yes,
I mean, but,
right.
So is there any credence to that? And I'm interpreting what he said. He didn't exactly say that in the podcast, but I pose that to you. What about going forward? Is it smarter to have somebody full-time?
Not really.
Okay.
And I'll justify it by this. They brought in somebody full-time. Full-time pay who only worked part-time hours.
Oh, was that the last one?
Yes. She was getting $61,000 a year.
But it was a part-time position as well. Gotcha.
Okay, so
and
now,
before that, Mayor Steferi had Sheila O'Malley, who
correct.
Was full-time.
None of them, which knew Derby. For for the past administration's economic developer to tell me that she was going to use the lot on Minerva Street for retail is absurd. You're not going to put retail on the lot on Minerva Street.
And I assume that's because if you open retail there, you would just have an empty storefront pretty
exactly.
quickly?
Exactly, okay. Exactly.
And you're trying to get industrial use in
right.
there
we can't
to complement what's across the top, across
that's
the
right.
street.
That's right. Light industry or residential.
Okay. Now, do we want to switch to finance? Because I think that's the much
ready,
that's the much bigger
absolutely,
issue here.
Absolutely.
So let's just.
I'd like to.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'd like to say one thing.
Let me just ask one
finance.
Question, though. This is unusual for City Hall staff to sort of insert themselves like this. I'm sure there'll be pushback from people being like, "Whoa, this is untoward. You're not. Your name's not on the ballot. Your name's not on the ballot." How you know, the mayor is the top of the ticket.
It's because of the things that were said in his podcast that relate to me and to relate to Sal and his department that he has no idea of. You know, he's talking about infrastructure. All that is being done. MMI and DiCarlo and Dow, they're doing the infrastructure right now. We've already sat and we lined where the new WPCA line is going to go. You know, that's all being
You're talking
done.
About across the street.
Yes, the south side, right, the
right,
new
okay.
development. And I would like to say one thing leading into the finance department, you know, with this 2.5 mil increase and the blunder in the finance department that happened back in the previous administrations back in 2016. When that budget was handed off, when she did not give it to the finance department, she gave it to her chief of staff, which was not in the finance department. You know, so a lot of this throwing stones at the finance department isn't right at all. And, you know, that's where I interject myself. When things are being said in the public and they're not true.
Let me ask you a question about that. So, because I've heard that too, that the, although it hasn't been outwardly said, it's been said in heated minutes at some of the tax board meetings where suddenly Henry Domerad was the one who, because the mayor, Degado, had taken the budget out of the proper venue and gave it to her administrative assistant because he had experience doing this before. But why didn't anybody say that? I sat at those meetings. If Mayor Degado, and maybe they did, but if Mayor Degado in the past administration took this step to take the budget out and sort of put it in her office, why didn't anybody say anything then? Like you were on the
board.
I don't
of
know if you were president of the Board of Aldermen at the time.
But the tax
you
board,
were on there.
The tax board, that's where the tax board should have came in.
Okay.
The tax board
and
has
they
the
were
right
Republican controlled from what I understand.
Yeah, so 5-4 or 5.
Yeah, I mean, I think Judy was the chair.
Judy was the chair at that time?
Okay, so then.
I would like to clarify. The charter says that the finance director shall assist the tax board. Doesn't say that the finance department is responsible for creating the budget. Building a budget is a collaborative effort. There is no one person you can go to by our charter that says you're responsible. I take blame for some of that error because I didn't recognize it at the time either. But neither did the boat members who are from both parties who spend countless volunteer hours wringing their hands over every dime. And for someone to offend me by saying that they don't know how to prepare a budget or that they failed, that's offensive. It should be offensive across the board to everyone on those boards.
Okay, then to play devil's advocate to that, there is this view. I mean, you know, I published one story where the Democrats used the phrase cleaning house.
I had that.
And then the mayor's campaign manager said, well, no, it's the Democrats' fault. And then sitting here as a reporter, I tried to schedule an interview with the mayor right. and the treasurer. So, all right, let's go over all this because we've never really talked about, all right, who's let's name names. Whose job was it? Is there somebody to blame? Only because I think one of the things that people outside of this building and maybe outside of city government who don't know
right.
either of you gentlemen, don't know me, but they live in the city, and all they see is there was this major mistake made, major in terms of a city government, and there's been nobody fired, nobody resigned, no accountability of any kind. And they can do it, sure, they can do it at the polls, mm-hmm. But the same people, you can't vote out. Not enough people run for office. Some people, and I've heard it from inside this room, yeah. or not inside this room, but yeah. inside City Hall, too, yes. it's the finance director.
The person who made the blunder is not here anymore.
But the mayor's administrative assistant from previous. But it did exist after that. It went on two more times.
Yes.
Yes. It was, as I said, building a budget is collaborative.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to shield myself from blame. At all, but look at the charter. Don't take it from me. The residents of Derby are not going to have the ability to read through a charter, nor should they have the interest to go that deep to find out something like this. It's in the charter. I should assist the tax board, number one. Number two, and to make things very clear, I'm very grateful to Mayor Degato for hiring me and her staff who interviewed me. I met the qualifications that were stated in the charter, unlike what Mr. Capullo implied that there maybe had been no standards or a lack of standards. I was told when I was hired that I was the best applicant. It was not a political appointee. I'm an unaffiliated voter. I continue to be an unaffiliated voter.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
The mistake that happened in 1617, and carried over to 1718, 1819, could have been anyone's error. I'm not going to sit here and blame Henry. Henry taught me a lot, and he was a valuable resource to me. Nor am I going to put it on Mayor Degato, because as the mayor, she's not responsible for submitting a budget. The tax raise of 2.5% is simply to carry our operating costs. As a matter of fact, had the blunder not been made and we realized that we were short $1.2 million per year, we would have had tax increases of 1.5 to 2 mils each year for 3 years. I have skin in the game. This is my tax bill. I pay $12,600 in taxes and WPCA fees. Every time a fee goes up, I'm impacted.
So let's talk about the blunder then, because it was, I mean, if you do look at the way city government is set up, there are checks and balances. And I have said this in the mayor's podcast. I have introduced the hypothesis that this is group effort. You can't really put it on one person. Is that what we had here? Complete failure of checks and balances in terms of that blunder?
The process.
And then going forward, how do we prevent it from happening again, well, if that weakness is there mm-hmm. in city government?
The process was flawed. And it has been forever flawed. Because no number of spreadsheets, no amount of diligence could have been exercised more than the boat exercised doing each of those budgets. They were trying to save the taxpayers money by not raising taxes when they thought, in error, that there was more revenue coming in. The auditor had to go back and restate the prior year, which meant that when Rich Zekin came into office, there was a negative fund balance at that moment, unbeknownst to everyone in the city,
mm-hmm.
including the auditor, until he was able to see it and then restate, because the Board of Ed, in their cutoff of expenses, they didn't have a hard cutoff, so it was difficult to roll back the expenses that belonged in the prior year. The process is different now because everyone has their antennas up for revenue. It used to be expenses that we focused on. Now everybody's saying, okay, let's make sure we have revenue done right. The state came in with ECS numbers. It's called ECS. And then separately, it's called ECS Alliance. They jackpotted those numbers. Then Alliance came in.
What is jackpotted those
numbers? They put those two numbers together.
It was in the same, right?
Right.
But other towns, that happened in every Alliance district town, right?
Absolutely, probably. I can't say for sure, but likely. I don't see why it would be different. So they didn't make that error. We made the error. The fact is, the taxpayers are not harmed by that error because their taxes are going up 2.5% and they had 3 years of no tax increases. They were able to keep their money. So we're asking for 2.5% going forward for 1 year. Well, that 2.5 stays, but it's not going to be continually going up by 2.5 by any measure. The plan that will reestablish the fund balance is sound. By July 1, 2020, we're going to have a $3 or $3.5 million fund balance, which is more than we've ever had since I've been here.
Mm-hmm.
And those are hard numbers. That doesn't even include the amount of money we're getting for the BJ Road.
Right, and so that's the 8-point plan that the treasurer presented to the alderman and Bolt. Yes. And that 8-point plan is a result of of several bad practices that happened and the mistake that happened.
That's correct.
But the city government saying, okay, but yeah, we did go up 2.5. That's not a direct result of this. But you can see how the average...
Of course.
And then it's saying, okay, because there is this other concern, and I know everyone's heard it, there is a perception, and maybe it's being manipulated politically, I don't know, that now you're guaranteeing, based on some of the things that have been said in the other room, you're basically guaranteeing tax increases every year.
Absolutely.
Because suddenly there's this...
I understand that. We've heard...
These were political zero-zero. We were being nice, but it was bad government because we should have been raising taxes, essentially, is how that can be
flipped. It could be. And we would have raised taxes if they recognized the error, but no one did. So they didn't raise errors.
So they thought
they didn't raise taxes. Okay, out of prudence, not out of neglect.
And did you? And I might have imagined this. Go ahead.
And the upshot is the Board of Education has a surplus this past fiscal year, and they're coming in to our meeting tonight to ask that the surplus be retained under the Connecticut statute, which is allowable.
Okay. I might have imagined this because those vote meetings are long.
Yep.
And they're plentiful, and this year was unlike anything I had ever seen in terms of very late in the season.
Yes.
Boom!
Right.
It was like a grenade being thrown into the room.
Yes.
Did you offer to resign at any point? Or did it cross your mind? Because I thought maybe you had said that in public, but I might have dreamed that.
No,
it might have been me hallucinating.
I've had confidential conversations with the mayor and the staff. I did say I didn't want to be a burden to anyone, and they immediately suggested that wasn't the case. So,
The other thing I wanted to ask, because I did ask Mayor Zekin in our podcast interview, I pretty much asked both candidates and tried to the same questions. Yeah. And he basically said, and I'm paraphrasing because I'm not completely understanding, but there might be shuffling. You might not have this position going forward. Mm-hmm. What's happening there?
That has been discussed. It's an open question. It was raised with the Operation and Procedures Subcommittee, and it was basically put off for another month because that subcommittee wasn't satisfied with the job description that was being presented for the human resource position that they're considering making. As you probably know, the finance director, although it's not in the charter, is also the de facto human resource director.
I didn't know that, no.
Yes, it is. It probably takes up 30% or 40% of my time.
Okay. That's interesting.
So if someone thinks they're going to get talented people in here and fix things, number one, after this, we had our eyes open from this error, there's very little to fix. There are very few expenses you can reasonably cut and not affect services. We're working diligently and successfully to develop the south side and to sell the properties that the city owned. We should never be collecting properties.
Let me just ask you, sticking with that, so you might be, if this was being pondered, because I know the city went to the rating agencies and said, we're going to have organizational changes, and usually that means people moving, either coming or going, not just adding a bookkeeper. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't think the ratings, I'm not a finance guy, but just based on what I've seen in the other towns, when somebody says something like that, it means a legitimate actual change. Okay. You would become human resources and they bring somebody else in, or what was the plan?
The discussion was that I would be offered a human resources position and they would possibly bring in an interim finance director. Those discussions I've had with the mayor and his staff, honestly, I don't see the value of it. They had a CPA in here before me. He resigned. And he was
okay. That's one thing. Going back years now, this has been your it's been very tumultuous. There was a lawsuit under Mayor Steferi that went on.
Yes.
Alan Schlesinger was in here briefly for a couple of weeks to help out. Tommy Thompson was here.
Thompson
under Mayor.
CPA.
This is the one sort of position So what's like, Carmen? Why is the finance director that position always so tumultuous? And is it a thing where? Well, okay, because what I've heard about all these positions is that they don't pay competitively. So you get somebody in there who is willing to do it from a community spirit point of view, but you're not opening up the job pool to the general population. So you're limited as to who you can hire. No, and I, that means that sounds like disrespectful. You have a whole career in, and I didn't mean that to
I don't,
like, you know what I'm saying?
Okay. I don't feel that it's disrespectful. I'm not competent to answer that. I have a comment.
Because the salary, what's, I mean, the salary from 60, what I...
$69,000. I started with $64,000. Prior to that, it was a four-day job for $64,000. When I came in, it was full-time for $64,000.
Okay.
Got it.
I personally know Sal since we were 10 years old. Sal is a great guy. He's a very hard worker. He's the first car in the parking lot every morning and the last one to leave. And there's no way in hell that he would do anything to hurt the city of Derby. And I believe that what he's doing, and he has a lot on his plate. You know, to do a full-time human resource, to do a full-time finance director, you know, if you want to bring bookkeepers in, you know, listen, we're all citizens of Derby. I pay over $12,000 in taxes myself. I have two properties in Derby, my house and an investment property. I don't want to see my taxes go up either. But I think that this mistake that was made is now being addressed. It's being handled. Like Sal said, we haven't paid taxes in 3 years, haven't paid an upswing in taxes in 3 years. And the 2.5 is Keith McLiberty's baby, because he brought it down. We should have been about 6 mils.
Which is originally the discussion when that bomb was thrown.
Correct. He brought it down with his 8-point plan. He brought it down to 2.5, which the people in New York at the bond rating were astounded on how he did it. And that's why we're still an A-plus rating, the same as Shelton, the same as Ansonia, and we're doing fine. And this, in another year, like Sal said, will have around $3 million in the coffers.
Those are, I mean, the only other question I could think of, if there's anything else you wanted to add. But, I mean, obviously we're in a mayor's race. And this situation with the budget did happen. And not just the Lions District, but as you gentlemen mentioned, the school district not having a cutoff date, that further...
And the $1 million of unanticipated medical bills, we're self-insured, we have no control. I can't tell people don't go to the doctor.
And from what Keith McLiberty said in public meetings, that was because you had switched health insurance plans, and a bunch of people at the last second said, I want to make sure whatever I need to do is covered under my old one, because I know it is, and that's why.
There was a rush.
But of course, I mean, how can someone running for mayor, like, not, I don't know if this is a fair question, not bring up the financial situation and saying, I mean, I guess my question is, let me make it less political. What would happen in a private business if this situation happened? Would it not result in multiple people losing their jobs? Wouldn't the reaction be what he's saying? We need to do something about this.
Okay,
the status quo doesn't.
This is perfect, because in his comments, in the newspaper that he sent to the residents, somewhere. Oh yeah, here he is. This is his quote. We need to clean house in the finance department in Derby. There's three people in the finance department, two staff members who are career employees who work very, very hard every day. They come to work. They each earn less than $50,000 a year.
Are those union positions too?
They are union positions. So I'm not sure where the clean house comes. If he wants to say he's going to fire me, he should say that with the Board of Aldermen's approval. That's fine. But to attack the staff and... by implication, the rest of the career staff in the city hall, we have to shut the doors if they didn't come to work every day. So it's offensive. That's why I'm here and asked for this interview.
Okay. And, you know, one thing,
as
we go through it, is you had said you're unaffiliated, and I'm trying to think in my head of ways to counter that, but you did give to Mayor Zekin's campaign. So
I did. I gave to Mayor DeGatto's campaign. I had her signs on my lawn, and now I have Rich Zekin's signs on my lawn.
And that switch happened because of what was said?
No, the switch. What do you mean?
No, when did you decide to?
Whoever's sitting
support?
In the seat I work for.
Right.
So I support them. Financially, I give to their campaign as well as I put signs in my property.
Okay.
Because I'm here. Rich didn't have to keep me on.
Right.
He chose to.
And you have to bring Carmen in, but that's that we talked about that in the podcast as well. Those are really all my questions.
If
what you
comments.
Wanted to be, yeah, you can continue this conversation.
Mr. Capolo, in the podcast, and I listened to it several times to make sure I heard it correctly. He said that the city was a $6 million corporation. These are the numbers I received from the insurance companies this morning. Our assets that are insured are $145 million.
Okay.
We have a budget of $44 million. I'm not sure where the $6 million came from. Where did that number come from? And I'd like to know that answer, because we're certainly not a stock market company where we can see what the market valuation is.
Okay.
Okay. So I'd like to know where that came from, because in my view of it, all the city finances, there's no number that strikes me. It's $6 million. Another thing is that the Wall Street folks and the bond people, they didn't say hire a CPA. They didn't say you need to get rid of your finance director. They didn't applaud the suggestion that the finance director be fired. The charter says I'm to assist.
Do you think that charter should be changed? Maybe that's
I do.
Willy
in fact,
nilly,
I said that to the mayor in the mayor's office after this thing reared its head. I said, you really need to change the charter and make the finance department responsible for the budget. And the approval can be done by the vote.
I interrupted you, but yeah.
That's okay, but that's true. That's a point I'm glad you made. Yes.
Not my point. Just a question.
Yes.
I do pay taxes in Derby as well.
I know you do.
Not as much as you guys, though.
We have cash accounts, 62 cash accounts. There's no way a finance director, and there's no way that somebody who replaces me would reconcile 62 cash accounts, even if 15 of them were very active. He wouldn't do it personally, and it's really not sound financial practices anyways. I spent 25 years with the IRS, a total of 42 years with the federal government. In the federal government, somebody asks you a question, another employee asks you a question. There's a statute called 18 U.S.C. 1001, false statements. So if you're under investigation by CI or internal affairs of CI, and you don't tell them the truth, even if you haven't been sworn, you can be terminated. My level of integrity is, my experience in that level of integrity is very high. Some of the things I've seen in local government is very ugly. It would never be tolerated.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm staying here. And if they want to remove me, they can.
Let me ask just one. This is my last question. I'm thinking politically because I have covered local government at this level for more than 20 years now. And sort of politically, do you think it would have been smarter to be more vocal as this was coming forward? Because Keith McLiberty sort of became the public face of it. And I mean, I heard whispers from people who wouldn't go on the record, which is, and I didn't publish it because it's the finance director. The finance director's job is to do all this. The finance director, you were sort of being thrown under the bus. Do you regret not speaking up?
No, I don't.
Publicly, because you were rather quiet during the
I was, because what annoyed me was the suggestion that the finance department has to be a clean house. I have two staff members in there that offends me on their behalf. That's why I'm here. They can say whatever they want. The charter says, I know what the charter says. And I know what the charter says about other positions that I've been quiet about and reticent. I'm not an elected official. The problem with democracies are, I say this tongue-in-cheek, elected officials. Where you have Chris Christie on July 4th basically putting up his middle finger to the rest of the state. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Okay.
I unload it.
All right. Is there anything else you gentlemen wanted to add? Because we could go back and forth.
Of course.
And go. I mean, it's a 45-minute podcast.
Right.
The way podcasts are designed, I don't go then and give... You can imagine it's a political podcast to get people or to get to know the candidate a little bit. I don't afterward go back and give everybody a chance who's been mentioned in a 45-minute podcast to go. So just so you know that. But is there anything else?
The only thing I like to say, my department is my record speaks for itself. I'm being paid $19,000 a year, part-time, and I sold... In the last year and three quarters,
close to $1 million in sales. That's my job. My job as economic developer is to bring income into our city. And I think I have done that. And for him to say clean house, well, we did clean house. We got rid of the person who was getting paid three times what I'm getting paid and sold nothing.
All right. That's it. I think you guys spoke loud enough. I will be able to post this on the podcast.
For hundreds of years, we brought you the news. For energy info, we gave you the clues. Owners' profits were always sky high. Changing market now threatens our lives. Transliteration, critical reading, dumbed down nation, signs of inbreeding, TV sucking ideas from our head, public discourse just about dead. We'll ride the dinosaur, yeah, ride the dinosaur. Our readers are in the opens each day, yeah. Online clickbait, a brilliant way, yeah. Free information here to stay. Not even hookers give it away. Advertising metastasizing, newsroom shrinking, constant attrition. We'll ride the dinosaur. We'll ride the dinosaur. Pictures too. An editorial comment for a buck or two. Fire down the block, the murder next door. And now we wonder what it's all for. Social media coming free to your funny pages. The mayor's wages, criminal seats, corruption schemes. Ink stained wretches asking tough questions. We'll ride the dinosaur. Yeah, ride the dinosaur. The presses are running all through the night. We're printing the truth with all of our might. We're platform agnostics, got that interweb too. Buy an ad, see what we can do. We still have subscribers, still have our fans. We're here every day, so give us a chance or we'll make an art stand. Just hold us in your hand and we'll ride the dinosaur. Yeah, ride the dinosaur.